Well, thank you very much. That's the Young at Heart Ambassadors. Doesn't that bring back some memories, though, for most of us? We remember those days quite well. Very, very nice job. Appreciate that song. It's a very good tribute to what today is, and we look forward to this day being fulfilled and hopefully not to their future. I want to say hello to everyone and hope you had a very good morning service. We did in Paintsville, and so we have several watching online. Say hello to you all, too, wherever you might be. Not 100% knowing what might have been covered today, this morning, I'll just let you know that I'm going to cover every single aspect. No, I'm not. We'd be here until this time after the feast. No, my point is, I'm not going to get into a lot of history today. You know, sometimes we hear messages on the history of the Feast of Trumpets or the history of this, history of that. I'm not really going to get into a lot of history. There'll be a little bit of history, but not too much. Instead, I want to cover it from maybe a little different aspect. And I titled my message, The Significance of the Trumpet. The Significance of the Trumpet. Now, I'm sure that most of you, you've been around church for a few days. You know, or you're familiar at least, with the terminology, or what this might mean is theological exposition. Now, if you don't, maybe are not familiar with that, maybe I've heard it put it this way. Prophetic narrative. Okay, so what that is, it's a writing, probably mostly a short writing. It's used to create a very compelling account of present and or future events, hence the word prophetic. So its purpose is to draw the details and the authority from specific biblical verses. And so that's what I want to do here to get started. I made an attempt to do a prophetic narrative or a theological exposition, however you choose to name it, of the Feast of Trumpets from biblical verses. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read you just a short writing that I put together, and I'll just give you the scriptures as we go, and then later on we'll come back and look at quite a few of them. So, at the risk of losing every one of you to sleep, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Just don't fall asleep. Try to paint this picture as we're talking here. Paint this picture in your mind's eye and just visualize this for a minute. Okay, imagine the sky painted in vast shades of blue, suddenly breaking apart with a mighty roar, like thousands of thunderstorms echoing from everywhere. This won't be a quiet event, but one heralded by a grand heavenly trumpet blast, a powerful, unmistakable sound that reverberates around the world, trembling the very ground beneath us. 1 Thessalonians 4. Suddenly, every eye across and around the globe will be drawn upward, Revelation 1. The sun, a fiery disk, will be eclipsed by an incredible radiant light that surpasses all others. This is the dazzling, glowing glory of the Son of Man, appearing in the sky on a white horse, preparing his return, coming as not a humble servant, but he will arrive as a mighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Revelation 19. Dressed in a dazzling white robe that seems to stretch across the heavens, filling the sky with its brilliance. On his thigh will be written the name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will be surrounded by countless radiant army of angels, Matthew 25. Their faces shining like lightning, Matthew 28. And their voices coming together in a joyful celebration that will fill the heavens and drown out all earthly sounds. The archangel will stand confidently by his side, issuing a command that will echo through the earth. 1 Thessalonians 4. At that command, the earth will tremble. Graves will burst open. This is John 5. And the righteous firstfruits who have died throughout all ages will be resurrected. Their bodies, once dust and bone, will be instantly transformed into glorious, imperishable forms, no longer subject to decay or pain, 1 Corinthians 15. They will rise from the earth, borne on the current of air, and ascend into the clouds to meet Christ. Then, a miraculous transformation will happen to the believers, the first fruits who are still alive. In an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, their mortal bodies will shed their earthly form and be transformed into glorified immortal bodies, ready to join the resurrected saints. Together, they will be caught up in the clouds, a vast triumph assembly meeting the Lord in the air. Below, the world will be turmoil. Every person will see him as the light of his glory is undimmable and undeniable, Revelation chapter 1. The sight of his majesty will find the ones who rejected him, Revelation chapter 6. And they will mourn for their choices, but not all of them. For his coming is also a day of ultimate judgment. The heaven will no longer be a place of quiet stars, but a cosmic courtroom where the judge of all the earth has finally arrived, Daniel chapter 7. His feet will descend and stand on the Mount of Olives, Zechariah 14, and the mountain will split in two, creating a great valley. This is the moment when all prophecies up to this point will find their fulfillment. The Lord's reign begins, and all earthly powers and principalities will bow before his ultimate authority, Philippians 2. This long-awaited promise of a new heaven and a new earth will now be set in motion with the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, finally and physically ruling on earth forever, Revelation 11 and Revelation 19. Okay, wake up. Open your eyes. So, brethren, I want to say at this point, welcome once again to the Feast of Trumpets. That's a glimpse of our future. That's a glimpse of who we are and what we can look forward to seeing and being a part of. Does that make anybody not want to stick around to see how this plays out? Absolutely it does. Absolutely it does. This is today the next step in God's plan of salvation. We're just a week away from Satan being bound and then the thousand-year millennium starting. And a week, and then another week, the last great day. All this culminates in God's physical plan of salvation coming to an end and the spiritual plan starting. This is what we signed up for. Back whenever, and you put your own date there because you know when, this is what we signed up for, brother. We are here. We're in this. But all that said, let's get back to today. What is the significance of the trumpet? We read multiple times here that a trumpet's going to blast. It's going to sound. And we heard in the first message about the importance of the trumpet as well. Why is this not called the Feast of Harps? The Feast of Clarinets? Well, those are beautiful, and they have their place, but not quite the regalness that we get from a trumpet. The trumpet, especially a shofar, and there's a great depiction of one here, just in front of the stage here, a ram's horn. It holds a very special place in biblical history. And I'm not going to get into a lot of history, but I got to touch a little bit. You know, that's a rich symbolism throughout the Old Testament and New Testament alike. And it's more than just a musical instrument. It has quite a bit of meaning. And it has quite a bit of presence in delivering divine messages from God to his people. So if you will join me, we want to start in Numbers chapter 10. I want to look at just a few points here at the specific significance of a trumpet. Numbers chapter 10. You know, throughout the Old Testament, the trumpet was used, again, to signal, as a signal to gather God's people. It was used to warn them of impending events. Whether it was used them to call to war or to come to worship, and everything in between. And we'll see that here in just a minute. Numbers chapter 10, look at verse 1. I don't know if this has been read earlier. I hope if it has, we'll look at it again. Verses 1 through 10. So then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregations and for directing the movement of the camp. There's a couple different instructions right there, specific uses. When they blow both of them, now pay attention to what's going on here. When they blow both of them, all the congregations shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meetings. So you would have to have understood and knew what the signs and the sounds were. And we'll see in a minute, what one blast, two blasts, when one was blown, when two was blown. You'd have to know all this, and you would have been trained on this. But look at verse 4. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the division of Israel, shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, a different type of sound, you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall then begin their journey. When you sound the advance the second time, then the camps that lie to the south side shall begin their journey. They shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. So whoever's doing this would have to know exactly what they're doing, how they operate this, it would be awful to get up there and sound the wrong sign, and all of a sudden you have a war in the camp, and there's no enemy. You could see how you have to know what you're doing. Verse 8 says this, the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpet. They shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets. And you will be remembered by the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your month, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. So just in this handful of verses, you can see multiple ways that the trumpets were used. How they were blown, which ones were blown, the different sounds they made, and it was very, very important. It's important to God. So you look at that, there's another section of scripture in Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Verse 1, this is a prophetic warning. Joel 2, verse 1 says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill, let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. So the people would have to understand these different signals and signs and sounds, as well as whoever's blowing the trumpet. The trumpet here is a loud, piercing alarm to signal the coming of the day of the Lord and the judgment. The Feast of Trumpets, with its multiple shofar blasts, acts as a wake-up call. We heard this already. Acts as a wake-up call to you and me, to God's people. It is a memorial of past calls. We just read the history of some of these past calls, and it's a prophetic signal of the ultimate call for you and I to assemble before Jesus Christ at his return. Number two, a symbol of divine presence. A symbol of divine presence. You know, the sound of the trumpet is often associated with the presence of God. It's a very dramatic and awe-inspiring display of God and His power. Now, as I mentioned earlier in today, this morning message, Mr. Browning, he turned to Exodus 19, which is what I want you to turn to. But I was really, really impressed that Mr. Browning read all around the scripture that I wanted to touch. So he left it for me. I appreciate that. So he set the foundation. I'm just going to fill in the gap. But in Exodus 19, verse 16 through 19, it records one of the most powerful instances of a trumpet blast, or the trumpet in the Bible. This is when God descended, as Mr. Bryan pointed out, when God descended upon Mount Sinai to give the law to the Israelites. The mountain, if you remember the story there, the mountain was covered in a thick cloud. And there was thunder and lightning, and you can visualize this, thunder, lightning, and then a very loud trumpet blast. Now this trumpet blast accompanied the voice of God, causing the people to tremble. Have you ever been so frightened of anything that you trembled, that you became weak in your knees, that you couldn't stand up? The trumpet sound was an audible manifestation, if you will, of God's holy presence. He was there. And this trumpet announced it. Look at verse 19. That's the verse I want to touch on. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long, get that, it sounded long. We don't know how long, but it went on. I guarantee you it got their attention and became louder and louder. Makes you wonder. They first heard it, did they pay attention? Because then it sounded, and then it became louder and louder and more intense. And then Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. This just goes just a little bit to the importance and significance of the trumpet. This day is called the Feast of Trumpets. That means something. It's pretty important what it means. Just another reference scripture I'll give you is Psalms 47, verse 5. It says, God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Again, Psalms 47, verse 5. So the trumpet's association with God's presence and power makes it the absolute perfect instrument. It announces the return of Christ. It will announce the return of Christ. It's done many, many things throughout biblical history. We're going to see it in the future. It's kind of neat to see that common thread throughout all of God's Word. Kind of like we go back and say, well, family. Family started in Genesis and it ends in Revelation. The trumpet's been used throughout the Bible history. This brings us to point number three. A proclamation of kingship and coronation. Now, I asked this in Paintsville. How many here this past week saw President Trump and his welcome ceremony in England? Okay. A couple of us got to see that. That was really neat. I said we got to see it. We watched it on TV. We didn't get to see it in person. I don't think we went there. But it was really neat because I was watching that, and I'm kind of fascinated with that kind of thing anyway. So they come into, I guess that was Buckingham Palace in the outer court. They come through the gates, and there was three very huge chariots, one carrying the king and queen, one carrying the president and wife, and the other carrying the prince and princess. So they all three had it, and they all three came in under a big parade. But when they got inside, on the grounds was the British Army, I suppose, or their army. But it was their band also, and they were playing. And whenever the president pulled up, they played the national anthem. I thought, well, that is really neat. You know, what respect. And then whenever the king pulled up, they played their national anthem. And then, now I don't know if I didn't make this correlation. I don't know if it's when the prince pulled up or what, but after that, they played Trumpet Voluntary. What a beautiful, beautiful piece of music. We've played that here a couple of times. Actually, I think last year we played it in Paintsville for special music on the Feast of Trumpets. It's a beautiful, beautiful sound. But my point is, in all those three musical pieces, the trumpet was really, really exemplified. And you could hear it in all of them, and especially the Trumpet Voluntary. Proclamation of kingship and coronation. trumpets were used to announce the coronation of a new king. Just a couple quick verses on this. It's 1 Kings chapter 1. Verse 39. We're told here, Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. And listen to this. Then they sounded the trumpet. So first we see the ordination, the anointing, and then a trumpet sound. It would be really, really neat to know exactly what that sound was. What kind of a melody, if any, that played. But anyway, it says this. They sounded the trumpet, and all the people shouted, "Long live King Solomon." Go forward to 2 Kings chapter 9. Second Kings chapter 9, verse 13. Then each man hastened to take his garment and put it under him on the top of the steps. And they blew trumpets, saying, "Yehu is king." This usage is a very powerful parallel to the prophetic interpretation of this very day, the Feast of Trumpets. When Jesus Christ returns, he, as we mentioned earlier, will not come only as a humble man. He will be humble, and that's his character, but he will come as King of Kings who will establish the eternal kingdom of God. Things are going to change. You and I live in this world, and we're limited to what we can do. But when Christ comes, wrongs will be made right. Things will change. This brings us to point number four. This is a call to resurrection and finality. A call to resurrection and finality. I'm going to go just a little bit deeper into this point. You guys thought I was going to let you out early, didn't you? According to Revelation chapter 8, it's a vision that's coming soon that we hope and we pray for, that the seven angels who had the seven trumpets, they prepare themselves to sound. Now, whenever we pray for Christ to return, we're praying for this right here. I think we get that. We might not go out and ask God to please bring the first six trumpets because it's not the best situation to be in. But we do want that seventh trumpet to sound. And for it to sound, these six have to sound first. This prophecy goes on to describe how God will cause trumpets to be blown, one right after another in his time, building up to this seventh trumpet at Jesus Christ's second coming and the first resurrection. What a beautiful time this is. But before we go to Revelation chapter 8, I want to briefly examine a few descriptions of the trumpets. If you go to Isaiah chapter 27, Isaiah chapter 27 here, in verse 13, we see that it's called here the great trumpet. But look at what it's talking about, how it's reading, how it's telling us this. Isaiah 27 and verse 13. "So it shall be in that day, the great trumpet will be blown. They will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, and they who are outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem." This gives us a little bit of history, a little bit of future look, a little bit of prophetic vision here. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Again, we already talked a little bit about this. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 31, it's called a great sound of a trumpet. Just breaking into that thought here, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I will come back to this in just a little bit and tie in a couple of verses. Matthew 24 verse 31, "To gather together His elect, that's you and me, brethren, His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This plan includes all of us. The next one is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. It's called the last trumpet. First Corinthians 15, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Covers all of us. What a great plan God has. He covers all of us. And one final description here in 1 Thessalonians. We couldn't do this section without doing 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, is called the trumpet of God. First Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then it goes on to talk about the rest of us. All these, we saw the great trumpet, a great sound of a trumpet, the last trumpet, and the trumpet of God. These are just four. They all refer back to the trumpets in the book of Revelation. So, at this time, let's go to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8 here. Now, I'm going to, for the most part, we'll read some scriptures through here, but I'm going to summarize the first six trumpets here, because I would like to get you guys out of here by dinner time. Not sure what time that is for you, but we'll make it happen. Revelation chapter 8, the first four trumpets, which cause the damage to our natural world, the world that you and I live in today. They're detailed in verses 7 through 12. So let's look at Revelation 8, verse 7. This is the first trumpet. The first angel sounded, and hell and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. That's what we see. Right off the bat, that's what we see. This is a third of the earth is burned up, along with a third of the trees and all grass. This has to happen before Christ returns. Verse 8 and 9. The second trumpet. Then the second angel sounded. Something like a great mountain burned with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. So again, we see this devastation continuing on here. You know, a third of the sea turned to blood, killing a third of the sea creatures, and the ships, a third of the ships that were on the ocean, they were destroyed here. Verses 10 and 11 is the third trumpet. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of the water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because it was made bitter. So we see this poison take place, killing, again, many, it says many men died because the water was bitter. Fourth trumpet, verse 12. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. So just in these first four trumpets, we see a lot of destruction. And if you and I are blessed and privileged to live over into Christ's return, we will see this. You ever think about that part? You know, a lot of times we think, well, I want to live. I want to be blessed enough to live for Christ's return because I want to see Christ. What we described in the beginning, I want to see Christ returning, and I do. And if I'm not, that's fine too. But do we understand that we're going to see this too? This is a lot of devastation. This is leading up to the millennium. A lot of times, you know, in the past we always, maybe not we always thought, but the thought has always been there that when Christ returns, starts the millennium, bam, it's all clean, white, and beautiful. No, we just read what's happening. And this is not the end of it yet. This is the first four trumpets. There's still a fifth and a sixth and a seventh. The fifth and the sixth trumpets, these two are described as woes. Woes to humanity. And they're found in Revelation chapter 9. And I'm not going to read these because this is the whole chapter, pretty much. But the fifth trumpet here, the first woe, it's in Revelation 9, verses 1 through 11. It says, a star is thrown from heaven down to the abyss, releasing locust-like creatures that torment people for 5 months. That's going to be a bad time. We pray that we are counted worthy to escape the troubles and trials that are ahead. I hope we pray that. We better be praying that. Because if we're not, we could be find ourselves in this. Verses 12 through 21 is the sixth trumpet, the second woe. This is where four angels are released. And this, among other things, there's a lot going on there, but it's leading an army of 200 million to kill a third of mankind. Again, we pray that we might be able to be blessed to live into Christ's return. And that's a great thing. But do we remember all this leading up to that? This is real, brethren. This is going to happen. This is a map of our future. It's a map of the future that God has laid out for all mankind. And it's going to happen. Again, whether we are blessed to live into Christ's return or we are blessed, I say that seriously, we're blessed to be put to sleep until he returns. Either way, it's a blessing. So this brings us to the seventh trumpet, the final culmination, if you will, the seventh trumpet or the last trumpet that we already talked about a little bit. This marks the end of God's judgment and the beginning of Jesus Christ's reign. The main reference for this event is in Revelation chapter 11. And, of course, through the Pauline epistles leading up to this. The announcement here that the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. This occurs when the seventh angel sounds his trumpet. And as I mentioned in Paintsville, when I read this verse, I'll just give you a thought that comes to my mind. You know, right now, we as mankind, we live in this crazy, brutal world. And it's definitely not getting any better. Just in our short lifetimes, however old we are, we've seen a deterioration of this society so bad. And it's not over yet. And we think, we hope, we pray. Well, our prayers got Christ's return. But society thinks, hopes, and prays that they can fix it. And then we have the privilege and honor to read Revelation 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Do you know what happens at that point? Man is no longer in charge. Man cannot mess it up anymore. It's already going to be messed up. A big part from what man has done for the last 6,000 years. And then when all these plagues and these trumpets and these woes are poured out on earth because man continues to reject God, it's going to be chaos and destruction until Revelation 11, verse 15. That's when it's handed over to Jesus Christ. What a beautiful picture that paints for us. And it's not just a picture. This is reality. This is what's going to happen. This is what you and I have to look forward to. The thing I find amazing about this is that some Bible commentaries and scholars believe that this seventh trumpet, when it sounds, it is not meant to be taken literally. So my warning to all of you is this. Anytime you read, hear, or talk to anybody about this or anything, prove it for yourself. Prove it from the Bible. If you don't, you stand a chance to be misled, just like a lot of these commentaries. You know, we always used to look at commentaries as almost the gospel. Commentaries are written by men, and they may or may not be accurate. Prove it from the Bible. That is your basis. So instead, they see this trumpet sound as a symbolic representation, this is what was quoted, of the church's role in spreading the gospel. I don't know how you even come to that, but that's what they've come to. There's a few other people or individuals or these groups that think the seventh trumpet blast will be literal, which I give them that, but will only be heard at God's throne in the third heaven. It won't be heard on earth. Now, my question to that is, why? God doesn't need to hear this. God's doing it. You know, we, the people, need to hear this. And then, of course, the other alternative is that the seventh trumpet blast will be literal. Yes. And it will be heard, absolutely, on all the earth. Brethren, it's printed in black and white and blood. God, He printed it. He told us this. It's going to happen. My question is, you read these three scenarios, and which ones are true? Well, you and I know the truth. I hope we know the truth. Let's go again and notice three key scriptures. Three key scriptures. We already touched on part of these before, but I want to come back and add a scripture or two to it. Matthew 24, verse 29 through 31. Matthew 24, we'll start in verse 29. Now keep in mind, we have to work in, we don't, God will, work in the tribulation up to this point too. The tribulation with all these trumpets, with the woes, it's going to be a tough time. But look what he says here. Immediately in verse 29, after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. Again, think about the trumpets. And the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. And the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign, and this is it. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, I don't know exactly how God's going to do this. But I'm pretty sure he is not going to rely on social media. And I say that because, the simple fact, he does not need man to fulfill his plan. He's got a plan. He's working his plan, and he's going to fulfill his plan. My guess would be this will be some miraculous doing. We either believe it or we don't. It says right here, and they, who's they? All the tribes of the earth. That's everybody. They will see the Son of Man coming. And he's only coming one time. He's not going to come here and then leave and then come back here and then come back here so these different people can see. He's coming one time. He's coming. And we're all going to see this. I can't wait. I hope and pray that we are able to see this. in awe of its glory. It will be great. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, we read part of this earlier, but let's look at it again as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And listen to this. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. We just saw the transformation of the physical to the spiritual and added eternity. What a great plan this is. I hope we all get excited about this when we read this scripture and all the ones around it. I hope we just are so excited to be a part of this thing that we call God's family that we can't stand it. I hope we are. One final scripture in this section is Revelation chapter 11. We already read it once, but let's just cover it again, because these are the foundational scriptures for this. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. This just confirms what we've already talked about and what we've already read. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The very beginning, the end, and now the new beginning. It's where it starts. I'd like to share with you a few things pointing to the conclusion that the seventh trumpet blast will be a literal sound. It'll be heard by all people who are alive on the earth. And we in the graves, if we die, we'll hear it too. First, we have an Old Testament example. We read Exodus 19, verse 19. If you back up 19, verse 16, this is the example of the miraculous shofar trumpet blast. And it's connected with, I don't necessarily like to use all these terminologies, but I'm going to give you this one. It's what scholars call theophany, I believe is what it's called. Anyway, it means a visible manifestation or an appearance of God. And that's when you read, and as Mr. Browning read, most of Exodus 19 around this, and then I finished with verse 19. You heard that. You saw what happened. It says, there was a long, loud blast from a ram's horn or a trumpet, and all the people trembled. You know, physical people heard an intense, miraculous shofar. This sound, it was so loud and so intense that it caused them to tremble. It caused them to tremble in fear. When you think about that, won't that probably be just about like the prophetic seventh trumpet that's about to sound, we hope? Number two, it's clearly stated in Revelation chapter 1, and verse 7. I might kind of go there quickly. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. That at Christ's second coming, all of humanity will literally see him. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye, get this, every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Every eye will see him. Well, I would bet that if every eye is going to see him, every ear is going to hear him. An argument some may make and have made, actually, against there being a physical sound or a physical blast heard by all the people around the world, is that such a blast of such a loud, intense, high magnitude with the vibrations of the air would rupture and destroy people's eardrums. And they get that from history. Now, I'll give them the history. And earlier today, I told everybody it was 250 years ago. It was actually about 150 years ago. I was off 100 years. Yeah, what's 100 years among friends, right? But their thinking came from the Krakatoa volcanic eruption. This happened on August 27th, 1883. It was just off the coast of Indonesia on the small island of Krakatoa. And here is a quote from a report. It said this: at 10:20 a.m., the volcano exploded with a sound heard literally around the world. Scientists estimate the explosions, some to be around 180 decibels. Now hold that thought for a minute. Any of you who have worked in the industry, and I still work in industry, we are warned that anything over 86 decibels is damaging to the ear. And when it goes on up, it becomes deafening. 86. This here was said to be 180 decibels. Now, finish my quote here. People 2,200 miles away in Perth, Australia, could clearly hear the eruptions immediately after the explosion. It is also believed that the force of the sound of this eruption, separate from earthquake-caused tsunamis, caused small waves as far away as the English Channel. You know, sound has great power. It does cause a lot of issues. I'm going to now give you a quote from Captain Sampson. He was the captain of the British ship Norham Castle. And this is from August 27th, same day, 1883. And this is his quote: "A fearful explosion, a frightful sound. I am writing this blind in pitch darkness. So violent are the explosions that the eardrums of over half my crew have been shattered. My last thoughts are with my dear wife. I am convinced that the day of judgment has come." That would definitely make you think, wouldn't it? An answer, though, to this line of reasoning is that although the trumpet will sound, and it'll be a physical sound that we will hear, it will also be a miraculous procedure. What happened back in Exodus 19? We read nothing about their eardrums being shattered. Why? Because God protects. God can get his point across, and it may come across in fear and trembling, but it won't necessarily cause damage. Not to us, not physical damage. Do we believe the power of God? That's what this goes back to. Do we believe that God can do these things? And finally, a third point here is this trumpet blast will absolutely mark a literal wake-up call for all of us, rising in the first resurrection. Whether we are we're blessed to live into Christ's return, or we die between now and then, and we are called out of our graves, this will mark a literal wake-up call. Brethren, think about this future. Think about this great trumpet blast that is absolutely destined to announce Christ's return to this earth. It's coming. It's coming. How do I know that? Because God said it. God does not lie. It's coming. This very air that we breathe will one day carry the sound of the last trumpet. It'll be a blast that is more than just a signal. It will absolutely be a divine declaration. This is not a symbolic sound, but a literal sound, a supernatural event that will shatter the silence of the heavens and will absolutely pierce the noise of this world. I guarantee you, if and when we hear this, we won't be hearing anything else. It'll be this. God will have our attention. Unlike any earthly explosion, this sound will not bring destruction to those who are ready. It will bring about a very glorious transformation that we all look forward to. For us, the trumpet is a wake-up call to immorality. It's the sound of a new body, a new life. It's the sound of the very fulfillment of every promise that God has made to us, to His people. It's here. It's the sound of our King returning to claim His throne and establish His eternal reign. Think about that. This day pictures the incredible moment that we've all eagerly been waiting for. We've talked about this for years. From day one, I can remember, we talked about this. It's like a grand finale of God's beautiful plan, when everyone will see unmistakably that Jesus Christ, the King, has arrived. What a great time. As the trumpet sounds around the world, it's a joyful celebration of victory, and it's an invitation for the first fruits of God. You and I have a privilege and an honor to rise to meet Christ in the air. This is our hope. This is our lasting hope. It's a day when sadness and pain will be replaced by endless joy and an absolutely glorious presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Brethren, have a wonderful Feast of Trumpets.